Today I was driving home from work and I was thinking, oh yeah, we're doing a podcast tonight. I wonder how I'm going to intro that. And for some reason, I thought of the word howdy, and then I thought, what if we actually said howdy to start a podcast? And would that be, how long would my wife make fun of me for starting off a podcast with howdy?
Yeah.
I think it'd be there. She'd be like, what in the world are you doing?
Yeah, I think there'd be a comment from my wife probably too.
There'd be a comment. Yeah, we'd hear about it. This is Three Brothers Talking. I'm David.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Jeremy.
Jeremy still hasn't jumped in and disrupted the order yet.
No. Yes. I'm a man of order.
I'm nothing if not dependable and orderly. That's my claim to fame.
Dependable and orderly. Yep. You can ask my wife.
That's why she married me.
She married me because of my dependability and orderliness.
He never speaks until it's his turn. That's why she married you. It's good quality.
That is definitely not the case. You know.
We made it to episode 71. Here we are.
Yeah.
Does it feel, I don't know, like it's episode 71? Does it feel like just yesterday we started this thing?
I don't remember yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Go. Who knows?
We're getting there.
Who knows? Yeah.
Inching towards 100, and it is actually, as we record this.
We got to do something for 100 whenever we get there.
I think we got plenty of time to plan, but I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know what it'll be yet, but.
That might be time to break out the video.
You need to plan something, because if not, I know what my wife's going to tell us to do.
Oh yeah, we can't do that. We can't do that.
We could do one with our wives. That'd be fun.
We should break out the video. Well, maybe we'll do it before then. Maybe there will be a reason to do it before 100. But definitely by 100, we'll do a video.
Yeah, we're committing to that.
Yeah, we got 29 episodes to figure
it
out.
At least for the 100, we'll have a video. Yeah.
Yes. As we stand now, guys, it's a week before Thanksgiving. Did you guys realize that? That's set in on me today.
I did not at all.
I realized it because my work is just very...
thankful.
The holidays affected a lot. Did you say painful? What did you say?
Thankful.
Oh, thankful. My work is very thankful, yeah. No, my work is just very crazy around the holidays, so... that started this week, so I was like, oh, this is why it's crazy today, because the holidays are coming on us. And I was just curious, you guys got any you have any thankfulness you want to get out of the way before Thanksgiving comes?
I'm gonna be thankful for a little bit of a break coming up for both me and Kaylee. So like we should be off. It's like looking ahead, we should be off from the Wednesday ahead of Thanksgiving through that whole weekend. Kind of just as a little pause and, you know, reset. But yeah, like right now I'm definitely with you, Dave, that like the sprint to get to next Tuesday is very much on. Everything that like happens in our world is like, okay, what else can we basically fit in before year end? And you know, that's where we're at currently. But
this is the life that I'm in currently.
So I'm preparing to be thankful once we have that a little bit of time to rest.
There you go. I'll say I'm really thankful that it's dark now at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's awful.
I was like, you don't have a 3-year-old toddler who, you know,
you get stuck in the house.
Yeah. Is stuck in the house and doesn't want to go to bed till, you know, 8:30 or so.
Yeah. And you're like, what are we going to do for 6 hours?
Yeah.
I know that it's really cliche to like complain about the daylight savings time. It's what everybody does this time of year. But it was a few days ago that I stopped Rachel and I was like, doesn't it seem, does it really this early every year? Does it really get this dark this early every year? Do we do this every year? Like, why? I don't know. I don't know why it seems so extreme.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's never really bothered me all that much, but this is the first year with the active toddler it has become so apparent to me that it is getting dark so much earlier.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in years past, it's just I've never paid that close attention, or it's never affected me as much.
How do you explain this to an active toddler? Which I love that term, by the way. That's maybe a good band name in the future. How do you like Lincoln or Micah like comes to you and says, like, I want to go outside. First you have to explain it's cold outside now. But then you also have to explain, like, hey son, it's
they can see 5 o'clock. It's dark. You say it's dark outside.
Yeah, he sees it's dark outside, and he's like, do we have to go night nights yet? And it's like, well, no, not really.
The answer's
like,
yes.
We don't want to, because
it's still dark. I'm like, yeah, and go back to bed.
Yeah. Well, that's a good time, but we also don't want him going to sleep at 5:30 at night, and then he's awake at 3 a.m., you know?
It's like, a cool thing to do, man. Why not be up at 3 a.m.? Yeah. You can get a lot done at 3 a.m.
You can be one of those productivity
YouTubers, like, I'm up at 3 a.m. every day.
Hey, if the sun's asleep, so are you. Okay? Well,
yeah, but unless you want to, like, become a millionaire, like millionaire habits or whatever.
Yeah, they always get up at 3:30.
They get up at 3:30 every day. I'm sure QB's. Marky Cubes is up 3:30 every day.
Cubies, is that his name?
Marky Cubes, man. Yeah.
That does not sound like a compliment to call someone Marky Cubes.
What would be a compliment?
See, if getting up early by itself was an indicator of success, I would be richer right now because my son has gotten me up early. Yeah, like,
I get that.
We're on an early schedule right now. We're trying to break out of it, but you know, what are you gonna do?
Is he still getting through the night or no?
Through the night. Yeah. Through the night just fine. That's not a problem. It's just like, instead of, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, it's like 5 o'clock. So
Maddie's up at like 5:30 every morning. I'm trying to stretch it, but there's only so much you can do with a 1 year old.
Yeah. Jeremy, you got any thankfulness?
I am thankful.
You look horrible if you don't have any thankfulness. I know. Although mine was sarcastic. I need to have a real one, probably.
That was bad.
I'll come up with a real one.
I was just listening to you and your thankfulness. I am thankful that thankful for my wife. She's pretty great.
There you go.
She does a great job, and I don't give her enough credit. She does a great job with the kids, with the house, and all that stuff, and putting up with me. So
yeah.
There you go. Thankful.
Because sometimes you don't speak when it's your turn. Sometimes you speak out of time.
I speak way before my turn.
Sometimes he gets out of line.
Most of the time I speak before I should.
I have no idea what that's like.
My foot goes in my mouth more often than it should.
Yeah.
Or maybe it should go in my mouth more to stop it from being spoken.
Yeah. That would not be a bad thing to have.
So since we're heading into Thanksgiving, just quick poll, because I haven't talked to you guys. None of you guys have Christmas trees up yet, right?
No.
Nope. I'm a little surprised Jeremy doesn't.
Why? I get a live tree. I can't do it.
Well, not because of you, because of your wife.
Yeah, we get a live tree. We can't put up for Thanksgiving. You'll die.
Yeah, but your wife is the kind that would buy two separate live trees to stretch it through the whole season.
If the budget were there, she probably would.
Yeah,
but the budget
she'd start in October and get two or three.
she just keeps replacing.
She does a great job getting Christmas stuff done. I just do what I'm told.
So none of us have. Does anybody have lights on their house yet?
No, I'm actually planning on. Probably this, like, either end of this week or this weekend.
Yeah.
I do a strict, last year I didn't do a strict because my wife asked me to, but I typically try to do any lights before Thanksgiving, unless it's super nice and the rest.
Yeah. Well, like, it's supposed to be decently warm, like, these next couple days. So I want to, like, and we're not going to turn them on, but I can at least get them hung up.
Yeah. I don't think you can turn them on
this weekend. Yeah. We got Micah's birthday party.
That's right. We have the last of the birthday gauntlet.
Yeah.
That we're getting through here.
We're doing it. Right. Yep. Then going to Christmas.
Then we go into Christmas.
Then Thanksgiving.
It's gonna be a killer party, guys. All the people who listen to our podcast are like, man, I wish I were invited to this party.
So I don't have any, we don't have any Christmas anything in our house yet. You guys don't have, there's no,
you don't have Jeremy, Jesus in your house?
Jeremy, I find it hard to believe. I'm not even gonna answer that. I find it hard to believe that you don't have any Christmas decorations anywhere in your house. There's not a candy cane.
I don't see any. No. To be fair, she like with this fall, there's very rushed. She just got the Halloween, like the thing, pumpkins and stuff up like the day before, like a week before Halloween and stuff for the fall. We're a little behind. Just because life has been a little bit busier than we anticipated.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah. That just kind of surprises me.
I'm kind of surprised too.
Yeah, our Christmas decoration box are still in the crawl space, so they have not come out yet.
Oof. Yeah, I think that normally you shouldn't really put any of that stuff up until after Christmas or after Thanksgiving. Right. Sorry. Thanksgiving,
you're a Grinch.
That's just what I think. Especially the lights, like if you have a great, this is an old man thing. Like if you have a great day with great weather in November, sometimes you get it out there and you get the lights up early, but you don't turn them on. You don't do that.
Mm-hmm. You just call Andrew an old man because it's literally what he said he was doing.
No, I salute that. An old man. Old man thing is a compliment. Nine times out of 10, old man is a compliment. Hey, out of my mouth.
I can get up there in a sunny 60 degree day versus,
a windy, rainy windy 35.
35, yeah. I'll take that.
The whole point is supposed to like be dangerous. Like you might fall off your roof in the ice and the snow. You know, like Clark Griswold. Just like that.
Yeah, nothing is Christmassy like almost falling a few times.
Like
Dave, do you get up on your roof?
I do get up on my roof. I got a one story. Well, we have like a split level. So it's like 1.5 stories. So I can get up on there. And I do it most of the time. This year I was trying to plan a new this is us being old men. Like I was trying to think about the other day how I can hang lights and not have to get on my roof.
Is my goal this year. I can get you that. It's not that bad. They have a pole thing.
Yeah, I have one of those, but like I was trying to rethink my whole light display this year.
Do those things actually work?
Yes, they actually do.
I've never seen it used successfully.
I did it on my house last year. I only had to get up on my gutter just because I had to get like the one end, but like using the eaves and stuff. Yeah, it works.
I've seen that as like everybody says it's this ingenious product, but I don't understand how it would actually work.
Yeah,
in practice,
you just have to know how to do it, man. Come on, I'll show you.
My thing this year.
You want to come over and give it a test run?
I'm busy.
Yeah.
Well, my whole plan this year was to get hooks on the bottom side. Like at my house, there were already some hooks that were on the bottom side of the roof that I think the last owners used to hang lights and stuff from. And I was like, if I just add a few more hooks, I don't have to get up on top of the roof. I can just hang it on top. So there you go. That's the plan.
Huh? All right.
But, anyway, enough about the Christmas decorations,
Yeah.
Enough about that.
Enough about the Benjamins.
We are, we are in the Christmas season, which means that coming up very soon will be a Christmas
Thanksgiving season, bro. We're not in the Christmas season yet.
Yeah, that's a fair point. We just talked about that. But the season is, coming upon us here, and that means that soon we'll have another like Christmas episode, which we normally do this rapid fire thing called Slapshot Regatta. It's a 2-year tradition now, right? 2 years? 2 whole years?
How long have we been doing a podcast? Has it been 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has.
Man, look at us. We're 2 years old.
Yeah, we're 2 years old. Well, I think we're a little more than that, if I remember right. But we're going to need audience participation for that, I think. We normally come up with some questions on our own that we just ask each other, and the whole point of it is that these are questions that we don't see, and we don't tell people about, we don't tell each other about before we ask them on the podcast. But it's also open to the audience to submit questions, however serious or however not serious. So you can get those to us through our email, which is threebrotherstalking@gmail.com.
And funny ones will probably make it to the top of the list.
Yeah, funny ones would probably make the top of the list. Yeah,
unfunny ones won't be asked.
We'll push those towards the bottom.
They will get buried.
Unless we only have like two questions, then you'll probably hear it.
Well, and if you give us a serious question that's actually pretty good, then we'll probably bury it and use it for a whole episode in the future. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. We have a lot of stuff like that. Do people actually give us suggestions, David? I haven't read our email box. Oh, yeah.
You've never looked at our email a day in your life, which is fine. Because it automatically emails me, thankfully.
That's why we got you. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
That's right. So get questions to us that way. Instagram, as we've said before, is normally the easiest way to get a hold of us as far as social goes. But tonight, it's a very serious question, and it is, have you ever gotten out of a speeding ticket?
Nope.
You never, unfortunately. Had one, though.
But you've been pulled over. Well, you've only been pulled over once in your life.
I've been pulled over twice. The first time they said I was going 45, and I said, no, I was going 36 and a 35, sir. And I literally just looked at it, and then he said, okay. And then he walked away. Didn't give me a warning or anything.
He said, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I was going to Bible study. Why are you going in such a hurry? And I'm like, I was leaving Carl's house to go to a Bible study. It was after a FIFA night.
And you said I wasn't even in a hurry.
I said, officer, I'm like, I'm sorry. I just got, like, according to my speedometer, I'm going 36 miles an hour, not 45, as you say. And plus, I just turned like off Rathmill onto that other road. I'm like, there's no way I was going that fast.
I didn't floor it.
No, I'm like, well, I had a little
doing a whole lot of references for people that don't really.
I had my Ford Fusion, I had my 5-speed Ford Fusion, which was not getting 0 to 45 in like a quarter of a mile, yo. So, and then he said, "You're right." And I said, "Okay." He literally said, he looked at my license and then said, "Okay, have a good night," and then walked away. And I said,
yeah. He was feels like he was else. Looking for something. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
That's exactly
yeah.
what he's doing. And I'm like, okay. And I said, thank you for your service.
You're so polite.
I have
officer, yeah. According to my speedometer.
I did say that. I said, I said, like, I just got new tires. Maybe they're, because if the tires aren't right, if they're not the right size, your speedometer will be off.
Really?
So I said, like, yeah. I just got new tires. So, like, I'm like, according to my speedometer, I was going this. Was I going 45? And then he didn't really answer and he just walked away.
That feels like it's a myth to me, the speedometer tire thing.
I don't know. Is that real? So I didn't grab a speeding ticket. I just got out of a ticket that I didn't deserve.
Jeremy just completely made that up on the spot.
No,
Jeremy
has now
gotten out of a speeding ticket.
No, I've heard that before, but I don't think it's real. No, but Jeremy, Jeremy was just saying, like, I didn't get out of a speeding ticket because I didn't deserve it in the first place.
That wasn't speeding. Yeah. I was going 36 and a 35.
He maintains his innocence to this day.
I did.
If he ever sees that cop again.
He didn't even run my license. He didn't give me a warning or anything. He just said, okay.
Was he bored or something?
I don't know. He was looking for something that fit a description.
Probably.
And I happened to be there.
Yeah. I've only gotten one actual speeding ticket. But I wouldn't count it as getting out of it. Because I've been pulled over three times, and the two other times they just said, hey, like, you know, try to slow down a little bit, have a good night.
That's
and
getting like, out of a speeding ticket.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, but, speeding ticket.
I'm saying I didn't do anything. I just said, yeah, like I was going a little fast. Sorry.
But you got out they were like, okay.
Yeah, you got out of it. Doesn't matter how you got there.
I mean,
you got out of it.
I've only had one, so one time pulled over, one time speeding ticket. So
yeah, it was coming back from the late Lake Erie one time that I was going like I think it was probably like 8 or 9 miles an hour over. Like I just set the cruise control, and then the other one was driving between our old apartment and our sister's house.
Which apartment?
Between the house off of the house that we had together, and then going on 33 there.
Man.
And 33 through that stretch is only 60, and like obviously freeways and stuff, I was probably doing closer to 70.
Freeway is 70 no matter what. That should be a law somewhere.
So yeah, that's where he got me there too. But yeah, guys, neither of them.
Can you imagine if we had this podcast and we actually lived in the same house together?
If we, why didn't we record when we lived in the same house? It would have been so much easier. We could have been recording so much longer.
well, we all had so much more time on our hands.
We could have had so much more content. And we could have been gurus by now.
Jeremy, at that time, none of us had wives or children or
all of our
lived together. We were in the same place at the same time. Andrew and I lived together before that. And then you and I lived together.
It would have been so much if we were on the ball as far as being an influencer, those were opportunities because we could have just recorded all day, every day.
We could have had a TV show.
To be fair though, the apartments and the houses that we lived in, they weren't like the really interesting, exciting,
No.
I feel like everybody who's got a YouTube channel that's an influencer stuff, they're showing you around their house and they're already rich. They're already filthy rich in their
house. Faith always
I'm just like
you don't
you
have
guys.
Anything on your walls. And we're like, no, because I'm moving in a year. Why would I put things on my wall?
We're not committed here long term. Yeah.
I don't think I hung more than one or two things on any wall.
I think I put one poster up in one apartment and that's about it.
That's one of the biggest differences. That is one of the biggest differences between the average guy and the average girl moving into an apartment. You get a 23-year-old guy and a 23-year-old girl, and you put them, controlled experiment. Everybody likes to talk about randomized controlled trials right now. We put them in there, different apartments, same layout, and we just say, all right, live here for 9 months. That guy will not buy any furniture.
He's not putting anything on the walls. So why would I do that?
I've got a camping chair and I've got a TV. I don't have a TV stand, but that doesn't matter. And
he'll knock the camping chairs.
He'll make sure he's got the beanbag he's had for 6 years that he got for his dorm room is in there.
Hey, I had that same couch that we had at all our apartments. It was actually Todd's couch for a few years. Gave it to me. Then it survived. I was 18.
Yeah.
18 until we got
dropping
married.
Names that nobody knows.
Hey.
Probably a 1970s, if not 60s couch.
Hey, I would imagine. Couch was super comfortable and it lasted up until we had kids.
I don't know what you mean by super comfortable. Yeah. It was
comfortable.
It was definitely not.
I liked it.
If you looked at it, not only was the pattern the 70s green plaid, but it had the huge, high back. And it had not just arms, but it had shoulders too.
Hey, to this couch. Shoulders.
I don't know about fluffy.
You could fall asleep on the...
Did you sit on the same couch?
Yes. No, it was my couch. It was a glorious couch.
It was this fluffy, Anyway,
it was
the guy,
comfortable. It's
the guy
in.
Is going to have that kind of a couch for years, and the girl is going to have she's going to have things on the walls, and it's going to look like an actual human, sane person lives there.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
Not because he's tucked TV trays and tables or something like that.
Or TV trays as a table.
As maybe. A dinner table. As and every table.
Or there'll probably be considerably less futons in the girl's apartment than the guy's, I would guess.
They serve a great function.
Four man function, speeding tickets. That's what we were talking about. So I'm actually kind of surprised that I have the most speeding tickets.
How many do you have? Here.
I think I have 3 speeding tickets.
Dang.
In my life,
man,
which is sad because it's the shortest life so far.
I've been driving at all.
We've been driving. Yeah.
Andrew, you have how many?
He said
only one.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, you got two. No, you have one.
No, I have one. Mine was only my 21st birthday.
Goodness. Okay, so I have 3. I'll admit to it.
Wow. Can you even drive?
Barely.
Do you notice speed limit is?
I do now because I've gotten 3 tickets. I got my first 2 tickets years after I got my license. I got my first 2 tickets within the span of 15 days.
Oh, I do remember that.
I remember that.
That was awful. I was in a bad mood after that. That was
not a good month for David.
A bad month. Looking at the budget for that month, it's like, why am I $400 behind? What's going on?
I'm really in the red.
You donated to the state patrol. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got those two. And,
was it a state patrol or was it a sheriff?
I've only gotten tickets from state patrol.
Okay.
So.
Me too.
I have a different. One, so. I have, you know, me and state patrols and me and sheriffs have different relationships, I guess. I don't know. Something about me and state patrolmen, we just don't get along. But sheriffs, I've been let off the hook by a sheriff. And I was traveling on a road that was a little bit of a speed trap. And I actually had a girl with me in the car, and we were coming back, well, I think, from a Bible study.
It's a speed trap because they know they Bible had a repeat study. Offender on there.
Exactly.
Well, the girl in the car.
It was not a dating relationship or anything like that, but a fellow college student.
Was it right? A courting?
It's not a courting relationship either.
A fellow college female.
We went to a Bible study, and I was dropping her off afterwards, and so. Because she didn't know how to get to the Bible study. And I'm such a, you know, a great guy.
Great driver.
So, and a great driver. A very safe driver.
Responsible driver.
Yeah. I only had two. To be fair, I only had two tickets at this time. Okay.
Yeah, that's so it. Good job.
Congrats. I might have had, yeah. But I did get off the let off the hook there. And I think it was probably because, one is, the officer pulled me over and I genuinely thought I was not speeding. And he said, what is the speed limit on this road? And I said, 45, and I was going 45, and he said,
just say it confidently.
And he said 30. He said 35, and I was like, my bad. Like that's that one's on me. A little bit of a speed trap, and I think he just felt sorry for me. I think he thought I've always looked young, so he probably thought I was like probably 22 or something. But he probably thought this, like, I don't know. 17-year-old kid is on a date and I'm not going to embarrass him and give him a ticket while a girl is in the car. So I'm glad I got out of that one.
Your friend got you out of the ticket more, yeah, probably.
Shout out. Thanks for that. Like then I'd have four. I probably wasn't 22. I was probably like, I probably wasn't even 20 yet. So I might not have even had any other tickets on my record at that point. But
yeah.
I did get a ticket then, I don't know, some years later. And now my wife always asks me, like, why do you, because I drive a little slow. I drive the speed limit now almost entirely.
Faith calls me a grandpa.
And my wife asked me why.
You guys drive the speed limit?
I do.
Five.
I drive the speed limit. Oh, man. Almost all the time. Andrew, I've had three tickets, man. When my wife and I got married. She and I added her to my insurance policy that I had, and it did not raise the premium a single cent when I raised an entire driver. And I realized, boy, I'm the problem. So I need to get it under control.
Your own sin is the issue in that relationship.
That's what I realized. And she asked me why, and it's like, well, because over the course of my life, I've donated, you know, $500-$600 to the state, and I'd rather not donate anymore if I don't have to. And you should be thankful for that because this is your budget now too. So
you're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome for driving slow.
Enter Maui.
Enter Maui? What?
The song from Moana. Yeah. Sorry, Andrew, I'm sure got it. Your kid's not old enough yet.
No. Nope.
You'll be there someday.
Yeah. Probably not. Hopefully not. Yeah. We'll see. Probably, but hopefully not. That's my goal.
Yeah. You know.
Anyway, I'm still a little genuinely surprised I had the most tickets, but here we are.
Surprised. I knew that I had the least.
I'm honestly surprised that you guys, at least you're saying it here, but you guys drive the speed limit. I mean,
I try to drive the speed limit.
I don't ride with you guys too much these days, so I can't verify that much, but
I did go. I mean, yeah, I try to as often as I can. I mean,
Kaylee still gets on me for being a lead foot.
Yeah, Dad always said, the fastest you're going to gain about 5 minutes on your time by speeding.
That's what he always said.
Sometimes 5 minutes is all you need, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't like that response.
Sometimes I need those 5 minutes, okay? The game is about to start. I got to get home. No, it's a. I just don't like, I'm just too, I just hate giving away money too much. Like I just can't, I, If the well, I don't know. I just can't do it anymore. And then
you're not really giving it away. I mean, you're more like you're getting caught.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I've also just gotten really good at like identifying cops from way off. And
we'll see. Andrew's going to get a ticket now. Andrew, like shortly after this.
That'd be hilarious if after this episode we all get tickets. Like being a cop on the pod.
Wouldn't be hilarious to me.
We got a weekly traffic update
with us and saying no tickets this week. Yeah. David still has the most.
Whenever you see your insurance premium like renew and you see it like go up because of a ticket, or in my case, two tickets, that scars you for a while and you're like, yep. Yeah, I'm not gonna do this ever again.
I think I just experienced, now that we're on the, just briefly, I just got my renewal, which will be in December. And this is the first time now that me and Kaylee are married and stuff, that I actually have my rate go down for the next year.
You just turned 30.
Yeah, you turned 30 and she's what, 25 now?
She's older than
27.
That.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, what in the world?
Know. My wife is 24, so
she's 20. Yeah, she's 28. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife is 26. No.
So
we're all great husbands.
We're almost to that day.
Well, Jeremy just threw me off.
I don't know how old your wife is. I don't need to know that. Like, love Kaylee, but like
I'm sorry,
that's not in my wheelhouse.
To be fair, you were very wrong.
I called Ricky 33 the other day, and like, "Oh, are you 33?" And she goes, "Do you think I'm 1 year older than you?" And I'm like, I guess not.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, who knows how old you are?
Ricky is our cousin.
We talked about Ricky before in the pod.
Ricky is part of the pod, I guess. Now,
I just want to, I was like, Jeremy, you're just throwing out a lot of names.
And and for the record, she is our cousin who is older than 1 year older than Jeremy.
So, yes.
Yeah. And Jeremy is, he's known her for a while. He should be able to know that.
Years, so yeah.
Well, real quick, we're going to talk about a lesson one of us is learning here and just kind of kick it around. So, is it going to be Andrew or me? Andrew, how about you give us the topic here for tonight?
You mean like what I had on my mind?
Yeah, what's been on your mind?
I was like, we talked about this a little bit, but it's been a challenge kind of daily that I've seen rear its head more and more heading into this school year with, two children and everything in the household. But really what's been on my mind is trying to stretch what it's meant for me to love Kaylee to the fullest of my abilities and to truly what I'm called every single day. And that's been a challenge. I know, like, I don't know if we brought up, but like our church has just done a study. We're about done now in Colossians. And so obviously you have the calling there in Colossians 3, where wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives, children obey your parents, all that. But really the standard that sets out has been a challenge, especially this year, I think, because with having the two little ones in the house and my wife, Kaylee being in school, and that has truly been a challenge as far as coming out of the whole, coming out of this whole hybrid environment that the kids were in, and now they're all back in the classroom, and there's a lot of behavior issues that she's dealing with all day.
Hmm.
And then she's come home and she's had to then, still pick up and deal with the behavior issues with our, our toddlers and our 1 year old and all that. And so it's been very, just being more in tune, I think, is the challenge for me to Kaylee's emotional well-being and to also being more in tune on those days where, she is clearly struggling and, maybe I need to extend some more patience. I need to extend some more effort to sort of bridge the gap for a lot of that energy that might not be there on her side? And how can I, you know, serve my family more to hopefully overcome that? That's kind of been the big challenge. And I've been, I have been reading a book.
Way to go.
I've been reading a book and I've been trying to, you know, just pray and challenge myself more in that area of, you know, truly what it means to kind of take ownership of the well-being of my household.
You can plug the book real fast by name.
It was just this. It's Man of the House by C.R. Wiley.
I can't remember if you grabbed that one or the other one.
It's like a little, it's like a little toolkit type book. It's pretty short read, but
C.R. Wiley's a friend of the pod, whether he knows it or not. We're fans here. We are fans of the Wiley.
Yeah, he's a friend like the nerd to the popular kid in school where it's like, yeah, he's my friend. He doesn't know it, but he's my friend.
And part of the, part of the big challenge is for me this year has been like, okay, with Kaylee's work, a lot of those like emotions can come home with her.
Yeah.
And like, obviously she has these connections with these children and she deals with the behavior issues all day. And like those burdens get carried into possibly home and her interactions with me and our children, you know, for the evening and stuff. Whereas like, you know, I don't have those emotional connections with my job. Mm. Like once I shut down my computer, I'm ready to turn it off and it's playtime with my kid mode. And, you know, there's basically no emotional ties. So that's where it's definitely become apparent to me this year that I need to stretch myself a little further as far as when it comes to feelings of empathy and being able to identify with my wife.
What you just said made me think of the fact that I've had to learn recently. I didn't know if Jeremy was about to jump in, but so one thing I've learned just with the season where me working outside the house, Rachel working in home and raising Haddon and everything, and how sometimes you get home and more so than we both just had, you know, quote unquote, like regular jobs, there can be a like pretty severe mismatch of mood afterwards, right? Like I can get home after a horrible day and just be exhausted or angry or something. And likewise, I could get home after a pretty normal day or whatever, where I don't have that emotional connection to my job, like you're talking about, Andrew. But Rachel's had a really tough day with a baby. And you know, she's still new at being a mom and everything. So sometimes you just have to, you're learning how to love like Christ did, because you're just willing to give up when you get home and you're in a good mood.
Yeah.
And you're fine and you're whatever, but your wife is struggling or your wife's had a bad day. And you are then willing to sacrifice like, okay, then what can I do to serve her? Even though it's like part of you jumps up and says, well, it's not my job to fix your bad mood. You know, like part of you says, well, it's, you know, it's not, she's an adult. She's, you know, but it's like, well, she's like, that's not what you're called to do. You're called actually to sacrifice and lower yourself and give of yourself. And how can you do that right now?
Yeah.
I don't know why maybe it's just having kids does this to you, but I just feel like I've seen that more than like when neither of us had jobs for all that, like when she was a nurse or when I, you know, those aren't nearly as emotionally trying as having a child. Mm-hmm. I just think that's part of the service that's in marriage that I wouldn't have expected before I got married. But whenever you're married for a while, I guess this becomes like, this is part of what you're called to do is like, oh, my wife is struggling like this or like that. I feel fine. But how do I, you know, I don't know what the right word is for it.
But it's also, it's also like you have to stay. I'm learning like you just have to stay in tune with your wife as well. Because like, you know, it's definitely become more apparent in the burdens that has brought home, like with this school year versus school years in the past. And also the challenge of like, okay, now we have an active toddler running around and not, like, you know, not being a great listener.
That's
too.
A drinking game, like, for the podcast. Active toddler.
Well, like, you get in seasons where, like, if you're, you know, if I'm just going through the motions and, you know, it's basically like the same routine, then I can very, like, very quickly get out of sync with Kaylee, and not really be in tune to, like, you know, seeing all this kind of play out. That can change from time to time. So,
and that's just caring. Like, that's just caring about your wife and caring how she's doing. Like, it's, I don't know, for me, it's pretty easy to just go on day after day and, like, I don't know, just manage my own emotions or manage my own stress. But that's not what you're actually called to do. Like, you're called to love your wife as your own flesh, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. And sometimes it's harder to do than others.
Also, like, you are charged, like, you are the head of your household. So you should have you should know and take care of the emotional well-being of your household.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's a challenge too. Mm. So that's, I mean, that's where I've been stretched recently, I guess, is just figuring out, you know, how much more I can be pushed in that area.
Do you think for you guys that takes the form of more like, I'm going to relieve, like for you, Andrew, is it more of, all right, I'm going to relieve Kaylee of these chores or those chores tonight because I can see what's going on? Is it more of like, all right, how I have to start a conversation to talk through these things? Like, or is it?
I think it's, yeah. I mean, it's been a lot of those types of things of sitting down, like after the kids get to bed and we kind of talk through and decompress from the stress and like try to work through, you know, whatever's happening. And then, yeah, like there's definitely situations too, where it's like, I can see, because she's very aware too of, you know, as far as, the issues that arise with our own children and wanting to have patience and all that for raising our own children. And she's very aware of the situations where she needs to, like, you know, take a breath and kind of step away before, you know, possibly, you know, tempers and all that can get escalated. Mm-hmm. And those situations have become more aware where, like, I need to possibly step in and, you know, handle children's interactions and stuff like that and behaviors. And then, yeah, like, and also getting her time to just enjoy the children in the playtime. And I step away to take care of, you know, doing the dishes, packing the lunches for the next day, doing all those types of things. So she can just have kind of a stress-free time with our own children too.
Yeah.
It plays out differently day to day.
Yeah. And those things seem to pop up sometimes on days when you would most like time for yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, and this might just be me as a kind of a brand new dad, still adjusting to the fact that your time really does go away when you have a kid, you know? And it probably goes away even more when you have two of them and three of them. And maybe you hit a plateau. Like, if you get to five, maybe everything after five, like, it's just...
it kind of levels off. Yeah.
But before that, you lose more every time. Because that's just how it is sometimes. Like, the days that you're most... Some of the days, this is what God wants to do, because he wants to work on our hearts. And so some of the days when I am most tired and I would most like to do what I used to be able to do, right? Which is... We all lived in an apartment together, come home from work, have nothing to worry about but the game you want to watch and the food you want to eat and the drinks you want to drink, right? Like, whatever. So,
yeah,
those days are often the days when also your wife is having a bad day. And you as the husband, you are 100% called to be the leader and to be the patriarch of that family. So you're, mm-hmm. you are called to be like the one that your wife submits to and that you lead and that you chart a course and you build and everything. And you're also at the same time, 100% called to be the most sacrificial person in your house.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And they sometimes those, sometimes the calling to sacrifice comes on the days when you at least like to do it. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how those tiny things can be so hard to sacrifice of like, oh, I just want time to myself to do this or do that or whatever. And it's like, no, will you do that so your wife can benefit, so your kids can benefit? So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the just the little things and the pettiness can weigh in of just like, oh, you know, we're in the middle of potty training and stuff. So it's like, oh, Lincoln had another accident. Well, I worked, you know, I just had a very busy full work day. Kaylee's had a work day too. Yeah. Like we're basically even right now. Like she can deal with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the exact attitude that I have to fight against just because I am realizing more and more that, you know, I have to carry that burden for Kaylee's well-being, for being sacrificial towards her and yeah, owning my household. So
I think that's something that Andrew and I talked about the other day during group a little bit. Difficult to do. Yeah. That's a very good book to do it. Also, his second book, which is kind of a sequel, builds upon that, which is The War of the Cosmos, Household and the War for the Cosmos. But thinking through the day-to-day and dying to yourself, and that's something, the beginning of Colossians, you're supposed to put on the new self. And going back, something that's been going through my head more is the renewed aspect of us already being working from the aspect of beloved and not working towards something. Like, yes, we're building for something, mm-hmm. Or building something, but not working for the identity versus working out of the identity you're already in.
Mm-hmm.
As a husband, you're supposed to do these things. As a child, you're supposed to do these things. As this person. Mm. And the yeah. joy that's supposed to come along with that, which all too often is in my own life is lacking, I guess. Those kind of things, I think, are more so hitting home lately. And also, like you had said, Andrew, every day is kind of a different thing. Some days it's, okay, the chores need done. Sometimes it's, okay, the chores don't need done. But sitting is what's yeah. needed today.
Yeah.
And being tender to that and open to that and actually listening, actually listening and saying, okay, this isn't getting the response I think it is. Obviously I read the situation wrong.
Yeah.
And being mm-hmm. open to that and not saying, well, I've already started, so I'm just going to finish, because that's just easier.
Yeah. I think you touched on something really important there of like to take it in slightly a different way. Like, sometimes the chores need done, and sometimes the right thing for your household is to not have the chores done. And that can be tough when you want the chores to be done. If it like,
yeah,
that can be tough when you like get home and the chores aren't done. And the thought that maybe comes into your mind is like, oh, why don't, you know, why yeah. aren't the chores done? Or why isn't this
why
done?
Why is the house a mess?
Why is yeah. this or that? Why is this like that? And then you see like your family and you see the evidence of the stress and everything. And the answer is most of the time in that situation, I'm confident in saying most time the answer in that situation is not, all right, dad's home. Let me show you how to buckle down and get all the chores done that you didn't do today.
Yeah.
I think most of the time the answer is, hey, okay, we'll try again tomorrow. Let's have fun tonight. Let's relieve the stress that's here. Let's recenter ourselves on our relationships with each other and with God, and let's relieve the stress instead of like, hey, let me be a coach that tells you how you could have done better today or how you could do better with yeah. the last hour and a half of your day. Let me show you how to use that better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's tough when it comes against something that you would like to have done, or, you know, like when you recognize, all right, well, for me to do this, I'm going to sacrifice whether it's something I'd like to do tonight or something I'd like to do tomorrow that is going to be sacrificed because of this. But I'm the husband and it's my job to sacrifice that. Just as it's the, you know, the calling of the other half of the marriage, the your wife, to choose at times to sacrifice what she wants for the sake of the family or for the sake of her husband. Just like it's the calling of us as Christians at large. I mean, right, when we're tired and somebody asks for help moving something and we don't want to go do it, but we know that person needs help, so we go and do it. I would say, like, if somebody's not married and listening to this, I can say one of the best ways you can get ready for marriage is to take every opportunity to serve people when you really don't want to. Like, get in the habit, get in the habit of doing things for other people with your time, and even when you don't feel like it, because that's like, I think that's like marriage and parenting. If you want to be great at marriage and parenting, be willing to serve other people even when you just flat out don't feel like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate of, just be like, putting others ahead of yourself.
Imagine that.
And that's ultimately, that's ultimately what, you know, if you want to be successful, in your marriage or with your families or anything like that, and as a parent, then being sacrificial in all of those avenues for your children, for your wife, is definitely
All right, I think we did it, guys.
We did a pod.
We wandered to and fro through all kinds of things, and if people
until next time.
If people stuck around through the Christmas light decoration tips, then I think we got to some good stuff, you know?
There was something good in there, yeah.
No, we needed to, refresh a little bit, you know, catch up on everyone's driving records and all that important stuff. So, to recap, you can send us questions for a Christmas episode because it's coming up soon. And we got other fun stuff coming down the pipe. Down the pike? Which is it?
Yeah.
Pike? Pipe?
I don't know, but my wife still makes fun of us for saying miss opportune all the time. So I'm going to just say that word.
Follow up from last episode. I think that was last episode or
two. We have to give a disclaimer that we don't know English here. And
the word is inopportune. Inopportune
is the word.
Yeah, we messed that up. Thank you, my wife, for lovingly correcting David and I.
Yeah, not the...
Graciously.
Not mockingly. Not the worst, you know, misspeak I've ever had. That might be misspoke.
I know, I texted back. I know we are genius, so I can't even text back the right grammar.
We learn something new every day, and today we learned a very basic word. So there you go.
We probably used hundreds of times.
Probably
correctly.
Used many times before. Well, share this episode with somebody, and give us questions, serious or not. And threebrotherstalking@gmail.com. And until next time, we'll see you next time.